Chelek Chof Beis, Volume 22, Kedoshim Beis. In Chapter 19, in Perek Yutes of this week's Torah portion, we're instructed regarding the mitzvah of Orla, the prohibition of benefiting from the fruit of a tree for the first 3 years after it's planted. And the prohibition is followed by the verse that instructs us in the mitzvah of Kerem Revi'i, bringing the fruits to the temple and they're being consumed only in Jerusalem. The Torah then instructs us regarding the fifth year of planting. The verses read as follows. V'chisavoyu al ha'aretz unetatem kol eitz machol v'aralten arlosei espiryei sholei shanim yilochem arelim lo yeyochel. When you come to the land and you plant any fruit tree, you shall surely block its fruit from use. It shall be blocked from you, from use, for 3 years, not to be eaten. The next verse, verse 24, Uvashana haravis yiye kol pirye kodesh hilulim lahashem. And in the fourth year, all its fruit shall be holy, a praise to God. And then, verse 25, Uvashana hachamishis, teichlu es piryei, and in the fifth year, you eat its fruit. Lahisif lochem tvuasei. Do this in order to increase its produce for you. Ani Hashem Elikechem, I am the Lord your God. Rashi highlights the words, to increase its produce for you, Lahisif lochem tvuasei, and explains, Hamitzvah hazeis, this commandment, shetishmeru, which you will observe, tiye lahisif lachem tvuasei, will be in order to increase its produce for you. Shebischora ani mevorech lachem peiros hanetia, because as its reward, I, says God, will bless for you the fruits of your plantings. Haya Rabbi Akiva Eimer, Rashi continues and says, Rabbi Akiva used to say, Dibra Teira Keneged Yetzer Hara. The Teira stated this to counter man's evil inclination. Shalo Yoimar Adam Hare Arba Shanim Ani Mitztaer Bechinam. A person shouldn't say, for 4 years I suffered with this tree, with this work, with this planting, for nothing. Because until the fifth year, one may not eat of these fruits regularly. Lefichoch ne'emar lahaysif lachem tvuasei. And therefore the verse says, the Torah tells us, it's in order to increase its produce for you. Simply understood, this explanation seems to be teaching us that Rashi's intention is to explain that the words to increase its produce for you are not connected to, and in the fifth year you may eat its fruit, because it doesn't quite make sense to say that in the fifth year you may eat its fruit in order to increase its produce. Rather, the words in order to increase its fruit are connected to these previous verses that instruct us in the mitzvah of Orla and Kerem Revi'i to observe this mitzvah so that the produce will be increased. But Rashi elaborates quite a bit in his explanation, beyond the short explanation taught by the Evan Ezra, who teaches this idea and says very briefly that the words to increase your produce is connected to the sanctified fruits, or, as the Rashbam teaches, again briefly, to increase your produce, this will be in the merit of fulfilling my command. Even if we were to interpret Rashi's explanation saying that Rashi too wants to clarify, to increase your produce and say, this means in reward I will bless your plantings, Rashi could indeed have just said this in short, quoting the words, to increase your produce, as a reward for this mitzvah, I will bless you plant your planted fruit trees. Just be brief. Why does Rashi rather elaborate and repeat himself? Again, Rashi says, on the words lahaysif lachem tu asay, to increase its produce for you. Let's review the lengthy response of Rashi, explanation of Rashi. Mitzvah hazayis shetishmeru, this commandment which you will observe, tiye lahaysif lachem tu asay, will be in order to increase its produce for you. Shebischara ani mevarech lachem peiros hanetiya, because as its reward, I will bless for you the fruits of your planting. And then Rashi continues, Haya Rabbi Akiva Aymer, Dibra Teira Keneged Yetzahara, that the Teira speaks to counter man's evil inclination. This is what Rabbi Akiva used to say, so that a person should not say, for 4 years I suffer with this work for nothing. Scripture therefore tells us, the verse tells us, it's in order to increase its produce for you. There's some additional details that we really want to understand in this Rashi. Rashi says, HaMitzvah HaZeis, this mitzvah, you should guard this mitzvah. Why the emphasis on this mitzvah? If Rashi had just said, the commandment you will observe, the mitzvah you will observe, without this specific this HaZeis, we would know, and it would be obvious which mitzvah Rashi is referring to. The verse is, after all, talking about the mitzvah that Rashi is explaining, the Orla and the Kerem Revis. Also, why does Rashi say, I will bless the fruits of your plantings, when the verse uses the term the fruits of your produce? Even if Rashi wants to ensure that we understand that the word that the verse uses, produce, doesn't mean produce of the field, but it means produce of the orchards. In other words, the fruits of the trees of the orchards. Rashi could have just briefly said, God will bless your fruits. Instead, Rashi says, the fruits of your plantings, which is just repetitive. Rashi then continues and says, Rabbi Akiva used to say, the Torah says this to counter the evil inclinations, possible argument, that 4 years of work were wasted because one can't eat the produce. Therefore, we're told that we're to eat the fruit in the fifth year. As for this mitzvah, God will increase your produce. Why does Rashi quote this teaching of Rabbi Akiva? Commentaries explain that by quoting Rabbi Akiva, Rashi explains why the reward for keeping this mitzvah is only mentioned after the instruction of the fifth year and not before that, when the actual instruction for the mitzvah of Orla is given. Rashi is then saying, according to these commentaries, that for the 4 years that you couldn't eat the fruit of your labor until year five, it is for only eating that which you planted in year five that you receive the reward of an abundance in your plantings. The explanation is lacking, however, because the fact that the reward is not mentioned earlier isn't really an issue to begin with. This isn't something that Rashi would seek to clarify, as in general, whenever the Torah does mention reward for a mitzvah, it's mentioned only at the conclusion of teaching all the details of the mitzvah, like it is here. First, the Torah tells us how man must organize his plantings and his fruits, 3 years of Orla, the fourth year, a year when the fruit can only be used in a very holy manner, and in the temple, and only after that, in the fifth year, may man eat the produce. And then the Torah teaches the reward for observing the stages of this mitzvah, the reward of abundant growth. Also, this doesn't clarify where Rashi connects his explanation to what Rabbi Akiva teaches by quoting that this is a teaching of Rabbi Akiva. Rashi only does this, as we have often discussed, when quoting a teaching in the name of the one who said it will add something to our understanding of that teaching. Additionally, Rashi quotes Rabbi Akiva saying, Haya Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva would consistently say this. How does this detail add to what we need to understand? Then there's a question about the quote that Rashi brings in the name of Rabbi Akiva. There are several mitzvahs where the Torah mentions the reward for their observance. Rashi doesn't explain that there is a reward for these, because if not for the reward, the Yitzhahara would block the person from fulfilling the mitzvah. Where's the proof in this case? that the reward the Torah mentions is to counter this argument of the evil inclination, and not just because man is deserving of the reward for his toil of 4 years and having to wait for the fifth to eat the fruits of his labor. When we look at the mitzvah of the Ephastayer, the captive bride, we can understand why Rashi explains that this mitzvah is given to counter the evil inclination. Because, as Rashi explains in that situation, if God did not make the Ephastayer permissible after fulfilling all the conditions the Torah requires, she would remain prohibited to someone. But man would not be able to withstand the temptation presented by the evil inclination. In other words, really the situation should be forbidden. But God transforms this into something permissible through the conditions given, and thus it's obvious that the mitzvah is with the understanding of countering the evil inclination. But in general, in regards to reward for a mitzvah, it's a foundational aspect of a mitzvah that there is a reward. So why is the reward of the mitzvah of Orla and Kerem Revi'i pointed out by Rashi, and why specifically does he explain it as a means to fight off the Yetzer Hara that says all this work is for nothing? Before we can answer these questions, let's take a look at Rashi's explanation on the words Ani Hashem, the conclusion of the verse, I am God. Rashi says the intention of the words in the verse is to say, I am God who is making this promise to you, and I am faithful to keep my promise. This is confusing. The common terminology that Rashi would use in explaining the words Ani Hashem would be brief. A brief, I am faithful to pay a reward. Why then does Rashi elaborately explain with the words, I am God who is making this promise to you, and I am faithful to keep my promise, and beyond that? It's not only a really lengthy way of saying I give a reward, but it also changes it up from I am faithful in paying a reward to I am faithful to keep my promise. Also, Rashi changes the issue from reward, which is a term he used earlier in the explanation on this verse, to the term promise, from I bless you with a reward to I keep my promises. We can explain this all as follows. The question that Rashi wants to respond to in his explanation is not regarding the structure of the verse and the placement of the words to increase your produce, which isn't an issue, but rather the meaning and the intention of these words. If the Torah intends to tell us about the reward for the mitzvah, then the verse should have read, do this, l'ma'an hoysif lachem tvu'asei, in order so that your produce will be increased, or so that I will increase your produce. The terminology used, and in the fifth year you may eat its fruit, so that I will increase its produce for you, means that this is the purpose and this is the intention of the mitzvah, not to eat of the produce for 4 years, or for 3 years, and in the fourth year only in a holy way. And in the fourth year that the fruits should be used for sanctification and in sanctity, so that I will increase its produce for you. Like saying, remember the Shabbos to sanctify it. To sanctify it isn't a reward. It's the purpose of remembering. Therefore, Rashi must say that the literal intention of the verse is that this mitzvah is to be observed so that your produce will be abundant. Even though in general, one must fulfill a mitzvah because God told us to do so. But in regards to this mitzvah, the Torah tells us that observing this mitzvah can, from the outset, be with the intention that the produce be abundant. Therefore, Rashi elaborates in the terminology used in his explanation. The words, to increase for you your produce, is not informing us of the reward for the mitzvah. Rather, the Torah informs us as to what man's intention should be in performing the mitzvah. He does this mitzvah so that the produce will be abundant, which means that Rashi is highlighting two ideas in his explanation. One, is that the explanation of the words, in order to increase your produce, is talking about the intention for man. This mitzvah that you will observe is so that there will be an abundance in your produce. And two, the reason why man is allowed to think in these terms is because God specifically said that this is what's going to occur. The reward for this mitzvah is going to be abundance in the fruits of your planting. In this case, accordingly, we would then ask, if the intention of the words to increase your produce is to indicate that this is the reward for the mitzvah, then yes, we understand why this is brought at the end of the discussion, as we mentioned. But according to Rashi's explanation, that this is what a man should intend and consider when performing this mitzvah, then these words, to increase your produce, should have been placed alongside the instruction for the mitzvah itself, not at the end. When we're instructed not to eat from the fruit for 3 years, the Torah there should state the intention to increase your produce. This is the issue which Rashi is addressing in his explanation, with the change in usage of terms from his produce to his planting. When the Torah states that there will be abundance in your produce, after telling us to eat of the fruit in the fifth year, the Torah is alluding to the way the blessing of abundance will manifest. Not only will the expected yield be blessed, but the earth, the planting, will be blessed, so that even after the fifth year, the source of the planting will continue to see the blessing of abundance. This is like the verse in the Torah portion of Bahar, where God assures us that we will live in the land of Israel and be satiated by its yield. And Rashi quotes the Sifra and says that even in our innards there will be the blessing of satiation, of true satisfaction. So now we have the question about the performance of a mitzvah for its reward. Why is it uniquely this mitzvah that can be observed according to the Torah from the outset, so that there will be abundance in the produce, considering the reward? Why is the reward for this mitzvah different to the reward for all other mitzvahs, specifically that the reward will rest in the planting of the fruits, while the mitzvah is about the eating of the fruits? This is indeed why Rashi quotes Rabbi Akiva, who used to say consistently, the Torah considers the evil inclination and its possible argument of having wasted 4 years, because this is a very difficult mitzvah to fulfill. It's very hard to toil for 4 years and not to be able to enjoy the fruits of that labor. Therefore, God made it permissible to have the reward in mind in the performance of the mitzvah, to satisfy the needs or wants of the Yetzer Hara. God promises a reward for this mitzvah that is different to the regular reward for mitzvahs. Accordingly, Rashi's words in explaining the continuation of the verse can be clearly and simply understood. Rashi explains the words, Ani Hashem, as I am God who promises this, and I'm trustworthy to fulfill my promise. The much shorter wording, I am trusted to fulfill my promise, in brief, as it's written by other mitzvahs in regards to reward, is not sufficient here, because the reward is taken into consideration at the very outset of this mitzvah, as prescribed by the Torah. Because without the promise of this reward, the Yetzer Hara would literally block a person from observing the commandment. So in our discussion, the words Ani Hashem, which Rashi explains means, I am God who made the promise for this, and I can be trusted to fulfill the promise. Because that is what this is, a promise made by God, and even the Yetzer Hara can be satisfied with this promise, and thus forced to agree to observe the mitzvah. The seasoned scholar may yet have a question, and that is, how is it that in this mitzvah, more than any other mitzvah, there's so much significance that it's permitted to observe it for the reward, and there's a special reward for it? And all this just for the weak individual who can only be convinced if his Yetzer Hara is convinced? Therefore, Rashi highlights that this is a teaching of Rabbi Akiva, the one who says, V'ahavta l'reacha kamecha, love your friend as you do yourself, that this is a great principle in Torah. And the same Rabbi Akiva who says, condition yourself to always find another Jew meritorious. According to Rabbi Akiva, to always find the actions of others favorable and to always seek to help another Jew is a great principle in Torah. And thus it's no surprise that the Torah is concerned with the individual who needs to, who needs to satisfy his Yetzer Hara. He needs to have a ready reward so that the Yetzer Hara will go along with the mitzvah. Rashi therefore emphasizes that this was Rabbi Akiva's way consistently, and this is what he would repeat consistently. And therefore the Torah concerns itself, or concerning itself with a possible argument of the Yetzer Hara, indicates a particular connection to the essence and quality of Rabbi Akiva himself, and therefore Rabbi Akiva would point out over and over the value of this. Rabbi Akiva did not study Torah for the first 40 years of his life. Only after he was promised reward for the study of Torah did he go learn. The reward, Rachel promised to become his wife if he would go study Torah. So in the nature of Rabbi Akiva, there's a similar conditioning. The first 40 years of his life could be lamented as wasted, and he began to study when promised reward. Yet his success in his study of Torah was phenomenal, to the extent that the Talmud says all the teachings are in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, he said, the Torah says this to counter the Yetzer Hara, so that it does not argue that it toiled for nothing for 4 years. Rabbi Akiva had a similar situation in that he began his studies because of the promise of reward, but at the end, he reached such a very lofty level. When we look at this more deeply, yet not everything is yet clear. Ultimately, the need for this reassurance for the evil inclination is only for a small amount of Jews who are on a lowly spiritual level. Why then is the mitzvah designated this way in the Torah for every Jew? The reason is because the deeper meaning of the Torah says this to counter the argument of the Yetzer Hara is that in essence, a mitzvah serves to flip the Yetzer Hara. Like the concept of love your God with all your heart, b'chol levavcha, with both inclinations, so that the evil inclination too flips and desires that which the Yetzer Tov desires, to perform a mitzvah. But how is this done? And thus, the reward for this mitzvah is to make abundant your produce, because it's specifically through the refining and subjugation of the Yetzer Hara and of the animal soul that there's an increase in holiness, as is explained by the Alter Rebbe on the verse in Mishlei in Proverbs, V'rav tvois b'koyach shor. There's much produce that results from the power of the ox. It's dafka, the power of the ox, the animal experience, the animal soul that can bring forth this abundance. The subjugation of the animal soul brings forth great holiness. These explanations lead us to an understanding that the work takes effort and even anguish. The work of the soul is purely pleasure, but the work of purification of the animal soul requires exhaustive effort, because one is breaking the darkness and the concealment that is caused by the animal soul through subjugation. Therefore, there must first be the anguish of the 4 years prior, when the animal soul must refrain from enjoying the produce. It is through this subjugation that we can also access transformation. And from transformation, we will access the abundance of the produce, harnessing the power of a transformed Yetzer to produce much spiritual abundance.